Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
That was tremendous. Tremendous night of hockey. That was a great game. I say great game. Entertaining game to watch and talk about. And so we're going to start off with Bruins and your thoughts on that game last night, some of the stuff from that game last night, and Zdeno Chara has a new contract as well. So we're going to start with that, hockey fans. 617-779-0985. What was your lead takeaway from the game, Mass?
You go first. I'm not ready.
Okay. To me, well, first of all, it was just, I mean, the entertainment value I thought was tremendous. And I call that a playoff preview. Because I think that sort of had the emotion and the anger and all the things that, you know, as a viewer, that you're going to feel in the playoffs, right? Close calls, controversial calls, getting porked a little bit by the refs, going back and forth. And I just think that's what the playoffs are going to feel like. And so that tonight, last night to me felt like that kind of thing. It had that sort of, just that sort of entertainment value. And you just can't. I mean, it's capped off perfectly, as you heard right there. With Brad Marchand with a breakaway with 5 seconds left in the overtime. Just him from the other blue line in as the clock ticks down. It was just tremendous, tremendous night.
Didn't you think he was going to do it again?
Of course. Of course I thought he was going to do it again. But beyond that, last night, if you want to talk from a technical standpoint from the Bruins, when I talk about their chances in the playoffs and how I feel about them as a team in the playoffs, last night showed me one thing. It showed me a lot of things, but one of the things it showed me is why a guy like Rick Nash is so important for them. They got stomped a little bit last night. Winnipeg's a big team. They're big in plays. They're big and fast. And they started throwing their weight around, and the Bruins tried to give it back, and it went back and forth a little bit. But I just think you saw the need for size on that team. And that's why Rick Nash is here, and that's why it's so important that David Backes comes back, is that size component. I think without those guys, the Bruins lack it. They're slight. They're little. I mean, Pastrnak was getting run. I mean, he got run a couple times. Marchand is going to get run. And, you know, you have a couple defensemen who can stand up for you. Miller and McQuaid, chief among them. But in your forward group, if it's not on that fourth line, you don't really. So you need. This is why I think you need Nash and you need Backes. You need guys like that to match the physicality that you got from Winnipeg last night. So that was one thing that stood up. Do you want to weigh in?
I was going to say, I feel that on the defensive end. And I know that they're missing guys now, that Chara's out, McAvoy's out. But I feel like when there's traffic around the net, the Bruins go into these stretches during the year, where it feels like they just don't get anybody away from their net. And how many of those goals last night were jam-ins on the side or right on the net? Some of that's on the D and some of that's on Hudobin, who sucked last night. He sucked. Anyway, go.
Okay, so I would agree that's sort of the piece with Greslick and Krug, two guys who are not really body movers. And so that's as much as they bring you offensively, do they take that a little bit away? I think that adds to the whole size component on the team. I think they're without Nash and Backes, they're undersized. For sure. I don't think that's a reach to say that. Yeah, and even Ryan Donato. I mean, what a special kid he is around the net, right?
That backhand was ridiculous.
And even in the shootout,
even his goal in the shootout was ridiculous.
That was ridiculous. I agree.
His release is just so. For all the skill that he brings you around the net, in the other 80 feet, he's going to get pushed around. He's going to get wiped out. He's going to get smothered.
He's slight.
He's going to get smushed.
Yeah, he's got to put some weight on. There's no two ways about it.
And I give him all the credit in the world for playing by the net and going to the net. It's just, you saw it last night. You know, Winnipeg's big. They started throwing their weight around, and I think they had their way with you physically. And that is just something to keep in mind. I also thought, I start to see some of their fringe roster guys look like fringe roster guys. Like, Gionta, the more I watch him, looks like a 14th forward, a 13th guy on the roster. Same with Wengels. Holden may have to play now, depending on where Greslick is health-wise, but those guys I think are starting to slot into what they are, which is fine. I mean, I still think those are good. If those are your first couple guys coming off the ninth floor, I still think you're in good shape. So those are sort of just the takeaways. I think Nash coming back is big. I just think it's big. I just think you need size. If Krejci and Donato, and then, I just... They need size. They need a little more size. So Nash, to me, is a big one. Is he battling a severe concussion? It feels that way. And will he be back? I mean, you don't know. So I just think that's an important one. Bacca should be back, and that'll help there. Overall, are you outraged by the officiating, Maz? Because everyone seems to be outraged by the officiating. We've turned into a bunch of whiny green teamers.
No. No, I'm not outraged by the officiating. I mean, look, they got a five-minute power play there at the end of the second, beginning of the third. And then I thought Winnipeg sort of played into their hands a little bit with that challenge. So, no. Do you?
I think they got the short straw in the officiating last night. I think they got some calls against them. But so what? So what? Like, I mean, I was, you know, complaining about Nesson the other day about how they've turned into more of a homer broadcast by the day. Did you notice it last night? Watching that game, I mean, now that I said it, and you watched, did you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's pretty apparent.
I mean, it's incessant.
Well, to me, I noticed it too, because I jumped back into the game early on at one point where they were talking about the goal that Winnipeg scored to start the game.
Maz, they wouldn't stop
and
talking about the goal.
They were going on and on and on about it.
They wouldn't stop?
You know, did he signal the goal? Did he not signal the goal? No, he never actually signaled it. So how do you know that he called it a goal? And then they can't change the call on the... My head was spinning by the end of it.
Guys, we got it. We got it. It was a bad call. It looks like 1-1 against you. Yep. Yep. We got it. But, like, Jack wouldn't let it go and in between. Like, all game. Like, guys, I got it. Yep. Bad goal. I agree with you. It was a bad call. That shouldn't have been a goal. But, like, nowhere in the broadcast was it, well, they're also getting their ass kicked. Like, they got their ass kicked thoroughly in the second period. And Hudobin let up some goals you just can't let up. And I didn't hear that. Instead, I just heard bitching about the officiating. And it's going to continue now because this Morrissey, who ran Grizzlick, is not going to get suspended by the league. So your thoughts on that?
I mean, he left skates. And the way that it looked, I mean, he wasn't looking. Their explanation for the lack of a suspension to me is mind-boggling because...
That Grizzlick turned?
Yeah.
He did. I mean, to me, what's the guy's history? Do we know what the guy's history is?
That I can't speak to. I don't know.
So, I mean, like, all these things are going to add up, and this persecution complex of the Bruins, Krishnas, and it's really Nesson, is really starting to go up my tailpipe. I mean, I just hate that kind of broadcasting. How about telling me about why the team's getting outplayed? And they were in the second period. They got thumped. But instead, it's all just bitching about the calls. Oh, there should have been an icing on the Moro goal, and the first one shouldn't have counted. And let's go back to that. Like, no, I got it. I got it. They're getting outplayed, and Hudobin lets in a couple you can't let on. Let's talk about that.
I mean, I didn't like all four on Hudobin, if you want to know the truth. But on the Grizzly kit, I mean, to me, it's sort of half of one, half the other. He absolutely turned down and went low, right? There's no two ways about it. At the same time, they ended up getting a five-minute major on it. So I don't know if it's a suspendable hit, but it feels like me they took the safe route out.
You just add all these up, and, you know, the Bruins fan is going to feel like there's a persecution complex. Bacchus gets three. Hornquist got none on McAvoy. Shen got none on Krejci. The Morrissey kid gets none last night on Grizzlick. It just sort of adds up, and it ain't going to get better on Nesson. It's going to get worse. And, you know, to me, I I'm a Bruins fan. I just can't stand that homer broadcast. I just can't. I got it again last night. I got it. It was a bad first goal. I got it.
I mean,
it's like the Warren Commission. No need. Okay, so 1-1 against him.
I mean, it does feel a little bit at this stage like it's piling up on him, and I'm talking about the injuries more than anything, and I know some guys are coming back now.
Okay, so how come the Bruins aren't getting the benefit of the doubt from the league then? The things are piling up. They're not getting any of these calls. The players that hit them aren't getting suspended. Why is all that happening?
You're going to go to Marchand?
I don't know.
I'm just telling you, I just meant the injuries. Oh. I didn't even mean the calls. I meant the injuries.
Like, I think Grizzlick is going to be fine. That was a report today.
So I hope so. But, I mean, it just feels like they've gone through this stretch here lately where, you know, after that stretch at the beginning of the year where they had guys banged up, they were healthy there for a long time. They were. And now it feels like it's starting to hit them again, and I always worry about that before the playoffs. But go.
Okay. So I'm asking you, people, do you have this persecution complex that you're not getting any calls and the league's not there to defend you? Does that bother you? Should that Grizzlick kid have been suspendable? I mean, I guess... But I just hate devoting energy to that. Because I think the call's even out. I don't think the league's out to get you. I don't think there's a bias. And I don't think that 99% of the time referee calls don't determine the winner of the game. Who was a better team last night?
Winnipeg.
Oh, definitely Winnipeg.
To me, if you want to say it was pretty close to even, I'll give you close to even. It ended 5-4 in a shootout, just what it should have been.
Winnipeg was a better team than I'll tell you.
I'm only really saying that because of the goalie, because Hudobin was mostly putrid.
Oh, God, I'll tell you, all four of those goals Hudobin, he shouldn't have allowed.
Yeah, he was really good in the very beginning of that game. But either way, I know you're all hot and bothered about that. So if you want to weigh in, you can weigh in on that. One more item. Zdeno Chara, 1 year, $5 million, another $1.75 in incentives. How do you feel about that deal?
I like it. I mean, he's making, what, four this year? And so, to me, 1 year at a time with Chara, I'm okay with that. And if you want to throw some incentives in there to bump him up a little bit into an area where he probably deserves, sure, absolutely. I just didn't want them to do something, 3 years or something like that. To me, one, absolutely. I'm all for it.
I asked this on my social media platform that I can't name because I'm an investor. But go to Twitter.
The platform that shall not be named.
It's the platform that shall not be named. Go to Twitter. I do have a Twitter handle. It will direct you to where I'm at. I asked this. If Peter Chiarelli were still here, what would that contract look like?
Oh, 3 years.
$15 million.
Exactly right. I was going to say 3 years at 12. It was going to be, So, like, my deal for him was 1 year, $4 million. So you're going to tell me 1 year, five plus incentives? I'm not going to go nuts. That's a little bit of an overpay, but the 1 year is the important thing.
And
one
I'm sure
year.
He was clamoring for two, and those incentives would shut him up and keep him happy. I like the deal.
1 year.
No, it's a good move. He's their captain. He's played well. He's earned another year, but don't give him more than that.
You can't do anything for a couple of years. McAvoy's up in 2 years. So you got to pay him first before you figure out what to pay the 42, 43-year-old defenseman who's, that's what Char's going to be at that time. 1 year, $5 million? Fine. I think he's earned it. I like Zdeno Chara more and more. With every day that passes and every year that he grows and his role on the team has been diminished a bit, and I find him more valuable. I like him more. I like his role on the team. As long as you're not telling me he's a Norris guy or one of the highest paid defensemen in the league, fine. Because then I think this is what he is. And I'm glad. It's good. I think he's earned it, and I think that contract doesn't kill you. 1 year is the key to it. And so, God bless America. The Bruins re-signed Zdeno Chara. Some chatter about him seceding the captain. Joe Haggerty brought this up in 2018. They bring Chara back, but he gives Bergeron the C. How do you feel about that? Okay, we'll weigh in on all these issues, starting with the Bruins, right to you after this.
This is Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
15 seconds to go. Tyler Myers cross ice. Flying little to Myers out high. Uses the big reach. Goes back to the forehand. And here's Marchand with the game on his stick. 4 seconds to go. A save by Hellebuck, and it'll go to a shootout. Cardiac units across central Canada and throughout New England are full of hockey fans. They will decide it on a skills contest tonight.
That's a playoff preview in terms of just the back and forth, the how pissed off you got. Like, that's the playoff preview. How pissed off you got watching that game at times and just the back and forth of it. So we'll hit on the game, the big picture ramifications. Are you feeling like you're being picked on by the league or the refs or et cetera? All that stuff with your calls. And Zdeno Chara, 1 year, $5 million. Maz, you had a follow-up thought on that?
Well, just quickly, I wanted to say, I've never been to Winnipeg. The atmosphere in that building?
Oh, tremendous.
Off the freaking charts last night. Off the... Is it always like that there?
They weren't in the league when I covered the team, so I don't know.
Holy smokes, that place was awesome. Like, that makes me want to go to a game there watching that on TV last night. That was insane. Anyway, go.
Okay, here's Pat in Boston. Go ahead, Pat. What do you got?
All right, Mike. So first of all, and Tony, yes, it is like that. In the playoffs, it's even better up there. It's unbelievable. I'd love to go up there, too. First of all, I want to say Jack Edwards is a dink, and I can't stand listening to him. He's never played competitive hockey his entire life, and I can't...
Let me stop you. I don't think he's a dink. I like Jack. I don't want to spend all day, like, ripping on them. I'm just telling you, I think that broadcast has... It's just not for me. And so I can't help but just say it. It's just not for me. It's too much. It's too much about the officials. I got it. There's a bad goal. I got it. So anyway, I don't want to rip Jack all day because I like him. Go ahead, Pat.
All right. I don't want to rip on the officiating last night, per se. I think that first goal, that was bad, but whatever. I mean, I'm so sick. And George Parros, the director of NHL player safety this year, I think has done a horrible job because you got guys like Morrissey last night, all these checks from behind. The league had a big problem with this a couple years ago. They were trying to get it out of the league. That happens last night, and he doesn't have to answer the bell. He gets a 5-minute penalty, and that's it. I think he should have been tossed out of the game. But he doesn't have to fight Miller. He doesn't have to fight Wingo, any of those guys. And he doesn't get suspended. This is the new NHL that we have here now. People get to run around and do what they want. They don't have to answer the bell for it, but they're not going to get suspended for it.
Okay, so here's why I'm reluctant. Because I do, and, you know, I think Brick said this, and I know the radio guys mentioned it. Grizzlick did turn. And you meant, you know,
he totally did. He curled back a little bit.
And I think the Bruins have been victimized by that thing. The Canadians have made it an art form. You get along the boards, you see the guy coming, and you turn at the last minute. You know it's coming. You've braced yourself. You're fine. But you can really make any hit along the boards look like a board. And I think some of the responsibility is on the player. So last night, the reason that I think the Morrissey thing should be suspended, but I'm not outraged by it. It was just the force. Like, he really unloaded. And there was 1 second left on the clock, and the puck was in the corner, and it was a nothing situation. So it was really just an egregious, it was just too much. Egregious. It was an egregious hit. But I'm not going to go overboard on it. I do think when you add them all up, Hornquist didn't get suspended for McAvoy, Shen didn't get suspended for Krejci, and now Morrissey didn't get suspended for Grzelcyk. Like, you would think one of those, they would get some satisfaction on, at least one.
Hell, I mean, you know, in retrospect, look back at the Paquette hit on Nash. I mean, if he concussed him, then he hit the head, didn't he?
So, again, we've been talking about this Nash injury, and could it be season-ending, and is he suffering from a really bad, I mean, severe concussion? And if you go back and look at that Paquette hit, it was late, and it was certainly high.
He went high. See, the reason I didn't have as huge a problem with the hit last night, because I don't feel like he was targeting the head. I feel like Grzelcyk stopped and curled and kind of crouched, and ended up getting sort of pushed into the boards, you know, hit into the... Now, there's no question, though. He went in hard.
Here's Evan and Lynn. Hi, Evan.
Hey, how you guys doing? Quick question about the lineups for the playoffs. You know, what are you going to do with Donato and even DeBrus coming back, Rick Nash, healthy? And even on the back end with Holden, you're going to get Chara back. What do you guys think about the lineups? How are you going to use the fourth line with Schaller?
Okay, he's going to use the fourth line the way he's used it. It's out there every 4 minutes. He's out there. They're out there. And that's, to me, that's how they match physicality, because that line hits.
See, I like that line. I want him to keep playing that line.
And Bruce loves it. He'll plays them all game. He'll play them with 2 minutes left in a tie game without any hesitation. And they hit. They dole out the hits. The problem is, they're together, and so when Marchand or Pasternak or Donato or these little guys are out there, you can't. Achari's not there to protect him. It's like they're at a different point of the game.
Your point on Nash is important, though, because Donato and Krejci both are slight.
If you want Donato to play with Krejci, I feel they need Nash out there.
I mean, they need somebody with size out there, whether it's Backes or Nash or someone, because, again, those two guys are slight. I'll tell you, though, quickly, it's been, 10 days with Donato? I'm already getting one in my shorts. Holy crap, can he shoot the puck? I'm telling you. Like, to sit there and say he's going to be what McAvoy was a year ago, you say, come on. How many kids come in and do that? I'm starting to wonder. Boy, that backhand, ridiculous.
Ryan?
Ridiculous.
Ryan and Marlboro. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, so, guys, it's not about, you know, getting targeted by the refs or the league. It's the context of the hit, and it's an absolute travesty that he's not being suspended for it. There's 2 seconds left. He comes from the blue line, and he pile drives him. It is the most dangerous and dirty hit in hockey, and it doesn't matter if he turned. If he's seeing one number from behind or two, it's from behind.
He's a defenseman, right?
He is a defenseman, and the play there is to drive your stick in and pinch in between the boards, and just give him a hug. There's 1 second left.
Ryan,
in the context of the hit.
You're 100% right. It's what I meant to say earlier. It's the context of the hit. It's 1 second left. The puck's in the corner, and the guy comes in from the blue. To me, that's what makes it suspendable. The whole thing about him turning at the last minute, like, I sort of feel for the guy who's hitting on that a little bit, because it's so easy just to turn at the last second and get a board. But the context of the hit, absolutely. And I would also just put it in context to some of these others. Now, they've started to add up. But again, why is this happening? Is this all Marchand? Is this the league looking at the Bruins going, you know, you got a guy running around out there hurting people left, right, and center every year. 8 suspensions, by far the most in the league. We're not giving you any breaks. You want us to bend over backward to protect you? What do we say to Johansson? What do we say to Sammy Sala? What do we say to who was the guy in Columbus? Whatever, all the way down the line. What do we say to all these guys? Is there a bias against the Bruins because of Marchand?
Well, maybe it's a combination of things, too. And I'm saying combination because Backus just got popped for the first time, and then there was another one right after it. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're developing a little bit of a reputation collectively, but Martian's at the middle of it. But maybe it's not just him. Maybe teams in the league are bitching about it.
Brian in the car, go ahead.
Yeah, I totally agree with that last call. It was so unnecessary. So, Brandon Carlo, can we take a second to appreciate him and what he's done the last month or two, probably since the All-Star break? He's been so much more physical and more noticeable on the ice. He wasn't having a bad season before that, but he was just kind of like not noticeable. But now he's like, if he keeps that up, he'll be a huge asset in the playoffs.
So I think Carlo's got to be in the lineup because of his size for this thing that I'm talking about. Size. If you have too many small, this is going to sound so stupid, but if you have too many small guys on the ice, you have a size issue. But that's what I mean, though. You know,
no. What you mean is you're going to get pushed around.
Well, look. So I mean, I want Donato out there, and Greslick's grown on me. I like Greslick out there, and you know, Heinen and DeBrusk and all. You know, but now I want all those guys out there, and the next thing I know, I'm you know, in the land of the Lilliputians. It's like, you know, what is that?
Lilliputians.
The land of the Lilliputians. Well, I remember once when I did cover the team, the Bruins played the Flyers, and it was like that Legion of Doom line, the Lindros, that giant line that they had. And I remember Pat Burns, and they got smushed. And Pat Burns came off the ice after the game and said, "We got smushed by Giants tonight. We got smothered by Giants." And it was a joke. Like, Robbie DiMaio's little head just above the sideboards with Lindros towering over the guy. You know, it's like if they get too small, it's too small. I know that sounds so stupid, but that. So I think Carlo's got to be in there. And I think, boy, they need Nash back. And Backus is huge. And you saw it last night. Pasternak took some shots. They were clean, but he got walloped in that game last night.
Well, this is the danger of you know, going with kids who are skilled and fast, is that typically they're going to be on the smaller side. I mean, Heinen's not that big either. Like, you know, it's all of them. You look right across the board, it sort of strikes you now that what Sweeney drafted is skilled, fast guys, but you're giving up size when you do that.
But I'll tell you, if you listen to the Nesson broadcast and listen to the league, it's like they're literally watching two different games. Because when you listen to the reaction to some of these hits on TV, and then what the league does about them, you really wonder if they are in a parallel universe watching a totally different... Someone, whether it's the broadcast or the league, is smoking crack. It's like, I'll give you what I'm talking about right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupon-coupon. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Shifley's down in the corner. And Morrissey just barrels into Greslick, and we're going to have something here. Oh, Morrissey's down. They're already turtling. He hits a guy right between the 4 and the 8 with purpose, knowing there's about 2 seconds left in the period. And then he turtles.
And I know it sounds like I'm piling on. I don't mean to. I'm just telling you, the way they see the game is like the Bruins are getting raped, pillaged, and just run over. Like,
burned at the stake.
Blitzkrieg. Like, literally, that they're just getting just the abject outrage in Jack's voice. You hear Jaffe in between periods? I mean, Jaffe was all over the hitch. I mean, you can just pick up that cut where he got it.
I don't know what's going on. Morrissey's a defenseman. You know, what's he jumping on his feet on another defenseman like that? To me, I don't like that hit at all. End of the period, you want to talk about situational?
Yeah.
That's garbage. It's garbage right there. I mean, going to hit him? Stay low. He elevates from behind.
Okay, so garbage hit. You know, Jack, let's fight. Like, just the abject outrage. The guy doesn't even get a call from the league. Not get suspended, not get fined. He didn't get a call. Remember the Ben hit on Brad Marchand?
Of course, yeah.
Again, they wanted the Warren Commission. And then you listen to Nessie, like they're picketing outside of the league office. Remember, Peterson did the same thing in between.
To me, the disturbing part is it's starting to happen too often against Marchand. I understand the reputation, but come on. You've got to make the call. He leaves his feet. You're standing 10 feet away from him. Marchand, look at, he just turns. He sees the referee. He knows he's right there. You're leaving your feet, and he is in a vulnerable position. It has to be looked at by the league.
Disturbing. Garbage has to be looked at by the league. Jack is like, let's fight. Like the Nessun sees these hits, and they lose their mind, and the league looks at him and goes, eh, you're fine. I mean, which one is it? Who's farther from this truth? Who's farther from center?
Oh, I think Nessun's farther from center, if you ask me. I told you, the one last night, to me, I thought it was close. Don't get me wrong. But Grzelcyk did, man. He curled back, and he was crouched over. Like, they called a five-minute major on it, for crying out loud, so there was some call against it, but I don't think the guy went in trying to hurt him or targeting the head. And to me, that's what those penalties should be. In the case of Marchand, I think your logic comes into play more accurately on Marchand. Like, I can see the league out to get Marchand. That I can get.
Or just, we're not doing him any favors.
Well, right. I mean, I say to get him. But, you know, they're going to turn a blind eye to Marchand and say, eh, sorry, pal, you play the way you play. You're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. I don't know if that translates, though. Like, what are you going to do? Take it out on Matt Grzelcyk because Marchand's a weasel? Like, that in my head doesn't compute. I don't make a connection there. Maybe that's me. Maybe other people do make a connection. But, like, so I don't think the Grzelcyk call has anything to do with Marchand being a weasel, is my point. But, and the Marchand hit, he got hit in the shoulder, and he kind of got hit almost from the side.
Oh, the Marchand thing was, I don't want to say fine, it was probably charging or boarding, but he got hit on the shoulder. He got hit on the shoulder by Ben, who was running around hunting. But either way, if you listen to Peterson in between periods, it's like, this has got to stop, this is an outrage. And the league looks at it and says, no, it's actually fine. And the thing last night is like, this is garbage. This has to stop. The league has to look at this. And the league looks at it and says, yeah, it was actually okay. Grzelcyk turned. So there is a schism there. There is a, you know, someone is watching a different game, whether it's the league or the broadcast. I mean, again, I listen to the radio side, and it's, you know, here. So I'll just play it for you so you get another listen to it. Here's Beers' call. He didn't realize it was Morrissey, and maybe he didn't realize the defenseman had come down when it first happens. He gives Wheeler the credit for the hit. But just, you heard Jack. Like, again, he was ready to throw down his headset and start fighting himself. Here's the calls from Surratt and Beers last night on the TV.
Shifley barrels his way in over the line far side. Drops the shoulder on Grzelcyk. Hit by Marchand. He got flattened in the far corner. He is down and in pain.
Good hit. Hit by Scheifele on Pastrnak.
Then Grzelcyk just got crushed in the right corner. And look out, the tempers are flaring now. Back of the net, you have Kevin Miller in the thick of it. And Grzelcyk is down in the right corner. As this game all of a sudden came unglued.
Was it Wheeler that hit Matt Grzelcyk? That was a good hit by Marchand coming back on the play. He's taken a couple of those hits where he's turned up, and the back checker got him. And now Grzelcyk gets hit. I believe it was by Wheeler. Kevin Miller trying to get to him. Scheifele's up and off. And so Wheeler and Kevin Miller are still jawing with the referees in between them. Big hit by Marchand. Good, clean hit. Sent Scheifele into the boards hard. He was really slow to get up. It was not Wheeler. It was Morrissey who hit Grzelcyk into the boards in behind the net. Wheeler came in after the fact, but Wingles had a hold of Morrissey. Morrissey just kind of turtled and went down to the ice, and then Kevin Miller trying to get. And now there's a lot of conversation in between.
Okay, so you can stop right there. It's just a straight call. What happened? You got the player wrong, but he just, you know, none of this
moral, no outrage.
This moral outrage that I get on TV when I watch it. It's like, good God, guys. It's like, and it just, and that just adds up with me, like, I'd rather hear about why the team's getting outplayed or why Khudobin was giving up killer goals. Like, I don't think the world's out to get you. I don't. Although these hits are starting to add up, whether or not, you know, no one's getting suspended on the other side.
I do love the fact that Miller responded. I mean, and they've done that pretty regularly this year in terms of the camaraderie, the kinship on the team. Like, they do defend each other. I do find it comical, though. And I told you this last week, and I don't remember which game it was, when the Bruins are zipping around, passing the puck like they're the freaking, you know, Swedish national team, for crying out loud, that it has come to this now. The Bruins are the ones bitching about getting hit.
Okay, but I'll tell you what, if I'm playing the Bruins, that's the game.
Of course it is.
Pound the crap out of 88, pound the crap out of 17, pound the crap out of 63, beyond that. After the whistle, up high, whatever it takes against 63, you do it. You know, dump the puck in on their little two little left shot defensemen, Greslick and Krug, and pound the crap out of them in the corners. I mean, this is what you're going to deal with in the playoffs.
Mike, this is what they used to do to everybody else.
Exactly right.
Like, that, this is what I'm saying, is that historically, that's they didn't have the speed and the skill. They would dump it in and beat the crap out of you, and that's how they... I like this so much better. But there's no question they miss the bigger guys. They miss Nash. They miss Backes. They miss Chara. They miss McAvoy. They miss those guys.
Nick in Marshfield. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, Winnipeg, I got to say, man, they look like a fun team to root for. They're big. They're physical. And along with that, they have all the skill in the world with Ehlers and...
Lining.
Yeah, Laine.
I can't pronounce that name, but yeah, that
Patrick
guy.
Laine, yeah, with his horrible, like, goat-looking beard. But aside from that, I think that if Rick Nash comes back, David Backes and DeBrusk are all back and healthy, I think you got to take Heinen, Wingles, and Gionta out, because I don't think Butch Cassidy is going to be breaking up that fourth line come playoff time.
Heck no. And the more I watch, the more I feel like Wingles, Gionta, you know, see you later. But love you, mean it. Great guys to have on nine to come in for a spot or someone gets hurt. That's fine. The question is going to be, though, it's Heinen or DeBrusk.
Well, that's assuming Nash is there.
Assuming Nash is there, right? I mean, someone can play his offside.
Yeah, if no Nash, that decision's gone. They all play.
Yeah.
Right, it's DeBrusk, it's Heinen, it's Donato. All three of them play.
But they certainly need Backes, who they should get, but they really need Nash, or else they run the risk of being trampled by Giants. They almost did last night.
I agree with them on that Winnipeg team, though, man. I'm telling you, that was awesome.
But some of the, like, Tyler Myers?
That's the guy that used to be a Buffalo.
Yes. See, I mean, I think he feels bigger than Chara. He's an inch shorter, but he's wider. Like, they are huge. And you're going to run into some other size in the playoffs as well. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back of the net, now Tana. He got crunched. We're going to have a penalty here on the Bruins. And now everybody's going to come over and meet around Kevin Miller.
Yeah, they're giving Miller a penalty because Tanev immediately grabbed his head. That's a good hit by Kevin Miller. That's a good hit by Miller. He did everything to make sure that he caught him from the side. Tanev immediately grabbed, but he's up and he's fine. I'm watching Kevin Miller come in. It looked like a good hit. He's coming in. Tanev looks. He sees him coming. That's a good hit. He got him from the
side. 86, 2 minutes, boarding.
No. Yeah, fans want 5. Bruins don't want any. He laid there for a second, and then he's up and he's fine. This is a good hit by Kevin Miller.
That's the exact play that I saw. He hit it from the side.
It's a good hit. It's a makeup call.
Kevin Miller hit in the corner. He gets 2. You had to know that was coming. You're in their building. They had given you a 5-minute major, and then they gave you the benefit of the doubt on that replay on the puck that almost went outside the blue line. And I think it was the right call, but it was close. It could have gone either way. I thought the puck went on edge and just went outside the zone, but no angle showed it that I saw. So that was a real close call. So they give you 5 minutes for the Morrissey hit. Then they give you a 5-on-3 after they lose the challenge. You tie the game. You had to know you were going to get a penalty. You had to know that was coming. So, yep, Tanev sold it, or whoever went down there, I think it was Tanev, he sold it, and they got the makeup call. And Beers just sort of called it there. And so called it for, you know, pretty much what it was. The TV broadcast, there is a level of moral outrage in these things. Like, just for example.
And here comes Brandon Tanev, author of 3 goals tonight. Miller puts the shoulder into him, and anybody want to go with Kevin Miller? No. Nobody wants to go with Kevin Miller.
All right, I'm going to say it, Jack. He looked like he sold this one. Kevin Miller, I thought, made the effort to get to the side so it wasn't a hit from behind. He's going to try to get to the front side of Tanev. Tanev sees him coming. He knows the body contact's coming.
He's still from the side.
And he went
around him.
He went down in a heap. And he wasn't sure if there was going to be a penalty on the play.
Oh, my gosh. The fans are asking for a 5 here.
And he got himself right back up.
Yeah. Well, what it is. Here we go.
Okay, I mean, just see you watch the broadcast, it's like your blood starts. It was like this moral outrage. And the league looks at it and goes, no, actually, it's fine. And someone else sees a totally different game. So I feel that's starting to pile up. Okay, we've got wrestling tickets to give away here in a few minutes. If you want something for free, don't leave your radio. We will continue with your calls. John in Hingham, how do you feel about the Chara extension, John?
Well, I don't like it at all, and I can't believe you, Felger. Captain Curmudgeon of the Boston sports radio scene, the guy who was ripping Tom Brady 5 minutes into your post-show Super Bowl game with Seattle, is likening blowing kisses at Chara at the beginning of your show.
Oh,
the guy has. Yeah, I like not him. Only is he he's slow. He's put in more minutes than probably any active player right now. But it's his hockey sense. It seems to have gone out the window. He's terrible with passing lanes, leaving the zone, exit passes. He's the one who got the most delay of game penalties in crucial playoff games last year. He doesn't clear out in front of the net. He's okay. Got one hand on the stick.
You don't like him.
The best thing he does is defend a player after getting a cheap shot hit.
Okay, he's better than you give him credit for, and I think he's been better this year than he was each of the last two. I think he's gotten. I don't know if he's gotten better.
Since 2 years ago, his play's gotten better.
I mean, I feel like he's gotten better, but at least maybe it's this, that the expectation on him has gone down a little bit. And so now he's a number two defenseman. He's not a number one. He's a really good defenseman. He's not a Norris candidate. He now makes $4 million a year versus $7 million. Like, that's what I think it is for me. It's now we've lowered the bar to more what he is. Back in the day, it sounded like I was a Chara basher because I don't think he ever belonged in the same conversation as Lidstrom and Keith and some of these other top defensemen. I don't think he was that guy. I think he was a different kind of defenseman and not as impactful as those other guys. I don't think he was necessarily he was the highest paid defenseman in the league for a time. I don't think he deserved that. So like that is this thing that I sort of fought against. But now that he's $4 million, not $7 million, or $5 million and not $7 million. And now that he's going to be your second or third best defenseman, not your number one, and now that he's not on the power play and everything else, and he's just sort of a defensive guy, I like him. I like him more and more.
I don't know if it's McAvoy. Like, I think McAvoy takes a lot of the pressure off him, too, in some ways. That one's symbiotic, that relationship. They both benefit from each other. Take the money out of it. Chara's gotten better.
Yeah, I feel like he has.
He did. He ticked up again the last couple of years. And there's the whole thing in the preseason about changing his stride in an effort to be less sort of clumsy and clunky out there and not by having guys spin him around as much as they were. Like, Chara's won my respect in the last 2 years. I'll tell you, I told you, I was thinking about this a week ago. Who would you rather buy a $50 bag of nuts from, Zdeno Chara or Tom Brady? Because I'd rather buy one from Chara, and he's not shoving the Z33 method down my throat the quarterback is.
He's not selling $50 nuts. If he were selling $50 nuts, he'd drive you crazy like Brady.
I mean, which is far more impressive, doing what Chara's doing at age 41 or Brady?
Brady.
No way.
Brady's still the best in the game.
I'm not talking about the level of performance. I'm talking about being able to play in the league at all. Like, Chara's still a good player. He's not great, but he's a good player, and it's hockey. Brady plays a position that's more protected than anything in sports now.
So I think Lidstrom played to 40. I think Chelios played to 47. I think they're both in rarefied air, but I think a few more have done what Chara is doing versus what Brady is doing.
Yeah.
Bork, I think, retired at 40. So it's what Brady's about to do has really never been done.
I'm telling you.
What Chara's doing has been done.
I'm just telling you, the physical demands on a hockey player, a defenseman who has played 1,600-something games and is plus 300 for his career or whatever the hell he is, I'll buy the bag of nuts from that guy.
Okay, but he's not selling you anything, so that's like, I think.
But that's my point. That's sort of my point.
That is your point.
Like, you get jammed down your throat with a quarterback who on, 75% of the plays doesn't even get touched? And this guy's getting drilled all the time or drilling somebody. I'll buy the bag of nuts from the defenseman.
By the same lines, though, let's say, Char credits the fact that he's gone vegan. I'm like, really? That's all it takes? Excuse me, I'm sorry. So you start eating veggies, and that's it? That's what you're doing?
Broccoli rabe.
Okay. God bless. God bless America. Like, that is okay, if you say so. Mike and Methuen, go ahead. What do you got, Mike?
Just quickly on the Chara thing, at first I was a little upset about the price, but that still makes him like the 43rd ranked defenseman in terms of salary, which is basically what he is, right?
It's just second, a little, you know, he was at $4 million this year, which I would have liked if it was one at four, but one at five, how can you really complain?
Right. To my main point, Marchand's behavior has both an effect on the way this team is disciplined in the league, or the way teams play against them in the league. I mean, yesterday the Morrissey hit is a perfect example. Morrissey probably looks up, sees Marchand like barreling somebody into the boards, right? It automatically assumes that Marchand's doing something wrong, and then goes chase down Grizzlick for whatever revenge he can get. And for better or worse, the rest of the league, I mean, the league office doesn't have an issue with Bostonians in general, right? It's not like they're looking at the rulings and saying, how can we stick it to people from Boston? No, the problem is they look at what Marchand's done over the last couple of years and say, they have some kind of environment there that sort of breeds that sort of behavior, so we're going to nip it in the bud.
Okay, Mike, it's a good call. I think it is largely a Marchand problem. You know, you sort of get what you pay for. You got the most notorious guy in the league on your team who's been fined and suspended more times than anyone else in the league. And so when there's discipline matters against you before the league, you don't think they look at that differently?
I mean, it really is amazing when you look at the numbers. Marchand's been popped 8 times. The only other guy who's really close is Zach Ronaldo.
A goon's goon. One of the last goons left. I don't even know if he's in the league anymore. And Rafi Torres is next with 5. No one else is more than 4. So I think there is a rub-off there. We will continue with your Bruins calls all day long.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.